Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, it looked too much like a Bears game. We're still watching Bears games. I don't like watching Bears games. I like watching football games. And why do Bears games still look like Bears games?
But see, you know what Bears games used to look like.
Yes.
So, like, just remember those Bears games and try to. We're just trying to get back to that.
We're never going to get. The league has changed so much, and it's just not the same sport really anymore.
You know, it's funny you say the league has changed so much, but last I checked, defenses have made a comeback.
Big time.
The Bears are big on defense. Big time.
Well,
that's been a constant.
It's true, and what they are doing is not. It's not uncommon around the league to have a strong defense and one of these sort of desultory offenses. But I don't want to do the dusty. It's not just us, man. It's everywhere.
No, but I think the reason I brought that up and the reason we've been talking about that is because if defense is like become a common thing that everybody plays better, then does the value of a Matt Eberflus and his defense go down because now the offense is what's the most important thing?
Now that is the right question.
It's the only question right now because I'm watching these offensive struggles.
That nails
I see,
it.
We talked about the field goals. Like, hey, if all it takes is 7 field goals to win a game, and you can get 7 field goals.
Because every kicker is incredible.
So, somebody was talking about bringing the goalposts in.
Sure.
You're on board with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Make it harder.
Well, the last time this happened, the last time we had sort of one of these punctuated equilibrium evolutionary shifts was when they did the K-balls. That it used to be that in the late 90s, and all of the kickers were doctoring the footballs.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting them in the dryer. The Bears themselves had a contraption. It was like a Jaws of Life, and they would stick the footballs in them and squeeze them by the ends to make them round. So it was like kicking a
easier
soccer
to
ball.
Kick. Yeah.
It was like a rugby ball or a soccer ball. So they did that. And the NFL's like, wait a second, we have to crack down on all these awesome kickers because it's making offense worse. And they said, all right, now we're going to do something called a K-ball, where it's going to be a ball right out of the box. And the kickers have completely obviated that effort because they're just better. And kids are going to kicking camps at 6.
That's what everybody's better at everything.
Yes, everyone's better at everything, but that's something that's affecting this game tremendously. So there's all kinds of things that are conspiring to make offense more difficult or to take away some of these passing touchdowns. And I think that you asked the right question. And that's why I said Shane Waldron mattered more than anybody else. Because you could have, and I said the Bears are going to be a top 5 defense this year. I predicted that. And I don't make predictions. But I felt strongly based on the second half of last year when Montez Sweat showed up and the fact that Jalen Johnson is fantastic. He takes away a side of the field.
Not a third, but a whole half?
You can't throw near him. His guy is covered. His guy is covered. I don't care where Jalen Johnson's guy is in your progression, whether you look at him first, second, or third. Covered, covered, covered. And that's why they pick on Tyreek Stevenson. And that's why offense matters. So they changed out, they swapped out all these offensive guys. Matt Eberflus is the head coach, and he sort of retreated to his comfort zone, to his happy place coaching defense last year. But he's still the head coach. And we watched these Hard Knocks episodes, right? I said it again. I'm talking about Eberflus, and I do the Eberflus. And we see him talking to
you're right.
Talking to Caleb Williams, and being involved in the film work and all that. But it's ultimately his responsibility to have gotten it all fixed. I want to listen back to what he said with us in August about how he is a head coach and what it means to have his own vision be something more than just on the defensive side of the ball.
It's about coaching the coaches, you know, so I'm not able to be everywhere at one time, but I am able to have coaches that are really good at what they do and understand standards and how we want to get things done at their position. So we set those standards. We understand how we want to look you know, in terms of the drills, in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the after action, in terms of how we evaluate those things, in terms of the fundamental skill that I was talking about in that article. And that's at every position. So that's how you do it as a head football coach.
Coaching the coaches and know the standards. Well, let's get on with it.
The standard's very much not being met. I can't imagine anyone saying what we saw weeks one and week two are the standard for any football team offensively. So if he's coaching the coaches, and here's the thing, it's not like he has a first-time offensive coordinator. He has an experienced veteran coordinator in Shane Waldron, right? So my question then becomes, when you talk about coaching the coaches, is that just a basic check-in? How ingrained are you into what's going on in the offense? Because if you're calling plays defensively and you're responsible for the defense, that's a whole level of responsibility that maybe you wouldn't have if you were just the CEO, so to speak, of a football team. I don't know what the dynamic is. I hope we learn more about it. I also hope just in general that the offense improves, which I expect it to. Like, it can't get much worse. We can agree on that, right? So last week it was like, hey, at least Caleb Williams didn't turn the ball over. Well, I looked up this week. There he was, turning the ball over. And they still weren't running the football. And guys were not, the rushing game was not, it was not okay, first of all, because I know that's what was used to describe it afterwards by Matt Eberflus. But also, they were getting pushed around up front. So even the drive where they scored, like, you need a 24-yard pass interference to get in position to score.
Which, and that's okay, because the reason they got the interference is because it was a great ball.
Yeah, it was a great ball that Caleb threw. Only one person had a chance to get the ball, so, you know, it was blatant pass interference inside, what, the 5-yard line?
He just tackled the guy. I'm beat, I'm tackling him.
Yes. So that way, at least he's not scoring, and we can reset for it with our red zone defense.
His 773 texter says, it's almost like the guy who lost multiple games in historic fashion the previous season might not be good at any part of the head coaching job.
But
I'll even reel that back in a little bit.
I think a lot of that, and this is why I was so excited that with less than 2 minutes to play, the Bears had the ball with a chance to win the game, is because never did I feel like they're going to win the game when they had those chances the last 2 years. And I was like, maybe this is the turning of the corner on that. Clearly it was not. Until they turn the corner on being able to do something in late game situations, I'm just not going to, I can't buy it.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Caleb Williams had the chance to do something hilarious and awesome. He did. He had that chance. He had the chance to say, all right, this is different now. And I don't want to put anything on this retroactively that it doesn't deserve, but I'll say it ran through my head. And I tweeted something like, okay, kid, here's your chance. Behind this line, Godspeed. But that, if you wanted to be special, if you really wanted to announce your presence with authority and tell the world that I'm different, the Bears are different, it was right there. Your point is very well taken. If you'd signed up for that and said, hey, will you, against the Texans, down 6, Caleb Williams with the ball, will you take it? I probably would have.
Yeah, because if anything else, it's a fact-finding mission. Let's find out where this kid is. Let's find out where this offense is. Let's find out what they're capable of in the clutch, because most I check, NFL games, playoff games, seasons, how good you are historically, comes down to the clutch. Comes down to what do you do at the end of the game. Patrick Mahomes is a great example. Every year we talk about who's going to have the ball last, because that's who's going to win the game. Guess what? Go back to the Super Bowl. How'd the Super Bowl end? Like, this is what the game comes down to.
And that's why we understand the decision was made to cut bait with Justin Fields, because of the passing numbers in the fourth quarter and the passing numbers on third downs. Those were sort of not leaked, but you could tell by who was calling attention to some of that, where that was the standard. The standard wasn't being met for those things. So you recalibrate and you bring in new people. And remember, they kept the offensive line coach, Chris Morgan. They kept him.
What does that tell you?
They believe in him. He matters. His reputation around the league is terrific.
But then it comes down to not the X's and the O's.
You never like to tell a man his unit sucks.
The Jimmies and the Joes.
But you never. It's not something you want to hear. Sir, your unit sucks.
These Joes are average, or at least they play that way so far, if not worse.
Average Joes, winner! It was a... It's a couple of bad days for Chris Morgan's group. And you can't have many more if this is going to get better. I also want to take another talking point away. And this is one of the Collinsworth points last night, while he wasn't gushing over the mundane. No one gushes over the mundane quite like Chris Collinsworth does. But he says, like, they really miss Keenan Allen. Come on, man. Come on. How do we know?
Well, I think historically he's just talking about Keenan Allen. What is the best thing that Keenan Allen does? On third down, you throw the ball and he catches the ball quickly.
Great. Well, last week he dropped a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Last time we saw him, all I know is a bear. And again, you put on that helmet and it changes things.
Stop.
You put on that helmet.
Dan, don't put that on to Keenan Allen.
He's 32. You sign a 32-year-old wideout who had injury problems last year. And I told you they were lying about the heel. I told you they were lying. It's a cleat issue. No, it's plantar fasciitis.
Well, it's a cleat issue in that the cleats that he's wearing are affecting the fact that his plantar fasciitis is flaring up more often than they thought it would.
Is he stretching his calves? Because tight calves can lead to plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
If this is
or
all
Achilles
about...
injuries was what I just found out.
Or that, yeah.
Or old age.
Or old.
Yes.
Old age. It's just so funny. It's a cleat issue. It's a cleat issue because he has plantar fasciitis. That's like somebody who's wearing a massive brace on their arm and the shirt doesn't fit because of the massive brace on the arm.
Oh, like I went through last year.
Yes. But we didn't say that was a shirt issue.
Right.
The problem wasn't your shirt.
It was the brace.
No, well... You got to understand, it was the fact that he fell off a stage at a club, and the fact that he went to a hospital that was
questionable,
extremely. This is how bad it was.
He went to like an unaccredited backstreet.
Nah,
like
they wouldn't take me.
This
in
is where they take the gangsters
places.
After they get shot.
There was like a secret knock.
That's exactly.
It was basically. It was basically the storage thing in Reservoir Dogs, where Tim Roth is bleeding out. That was the hospital where Ray went.
And this is how bad it was. I had to get said brace on my arm replaced, like two rewrapped and replaced like two or three times because they kept messing it up.
What?
Yeah.
And were you fearful that they were gonna have to amputate at that point?
I was fearful.
They came into his room and said, "We're ready for your surgery."
They did.
And he's I don't need
excuse
surgery.
Me?
And they said, "Oh wait, wrong person."
They woke me up.
That happened in real life.
This happened in real life. They woke me up at 3 a.m. and they gave me a COVID test. And I said, "Oh, okay, this is interesting." At 3 a.m., why do I need this right now? And they said, "Well, we're getting you prepped for surgery." I was like, "Whoa." I'm not here for surgery.
So if you hadn't like interjected at that point, they could have shot you up with anesthesia and you wake up. And did you find out what the surgery was for?
I didn't want to know.
Wow.
I just said, I'm not here for that.
I'm not making any of this up.
And then the lady,
this is all true.
I am beside myself.
Then the nurse left and came back and basically was like, "You're right. Bad nurse machine."
Sack machine.
Wow.
It's as Robert in Naperville said, it's like when an infantryman gets his head taken off and they say it's a combat helmet issue. Yeah, he's an old man with a bad foot. So stop.
I love the 219. I'm 53 years old and I just got plantar fasciitis for the first time in my life, and I can't believe how painful it actually is. It's awful. No, it is awful. All these things are awful, especially if you're that old and getting it for the first time. Now, these athletes, they've been injured before, and you know, like I said, once you have a dry socket, everything changes about what pain is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a dry socket when I was 18 years old when I got my wisdom teeth pulled. And you just kind of understand that, like, pain is very much relative. And if you can deal with one type of pain, you can deal with the other. The Bears are frustrating right now. And they're frustrating because it is a work in progress, and this is a process. And we're in that painful process where growth is painful. Growth is always painful. And we all just need to suck it up a little bit and accept the fact that we're 2 weeks into a 17-game schedule.
All right, you're right.
While that's all true, the problem is I don't know that this offensive line is going to get better. I can't guarantee that that happens because of the injuries and the combination of players who you're not sure if they should even be playing NFL snaps.
At least they got out with no more new injuries.
And of the nine,
right?
I was reading this morning, of the nine guys that are offensive linemen on the roster, three of them have never taken an NFL snap. That's not encouraging either.